We are in the book of Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah chapter 1. And again, the lesson this morning centers around God's call to Jeremiah. As we read the different parts of the scripture, and as we read in the book of Jeremiah, his service for the Lord began in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, the king of Judah, and it continued until after the Babylonians came and carried him into exile. And we find the record of his call, and again, in the first chapter of Jeremiah, beginning in verse 4 through verse 10, and that's the scripture we're going to read this morning. Now, his call was similar to other people's call in the Bible. There was a divine command for him to go, okay? Then there was a reluctant response, okay? And we're gonna see Jeremiah's response. But think about Moses, for example. When God called him, Moses saw God at the burning bush, and God said, "Hey, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And you remember what Moses said? No, I can't do that. He used the same excuse, that one of the excuses that Jeremiah is going to use. He said, "I can't speak plainly." So he was reluctant to answer God's call as well. And then there comes a sort of a reassurance from the Lord that he's going to tell Jeremiah, "Hey, don't worry." And again, Jeremiah gave him a couple excuses. Don't worry about those things. I'm going to be with you, and you're going to go as my representative. And God told Moses the same thing. Don't worry about how you speak. If you're worried about how you speak, we'll let Aaron be your spokesman. I'll talk to you. You can talk to Aaron. Aaron can talk to Pharaoh. But I'm going to go with you. Moses finally agreed. Jeremiah finally agreed. But there's three points to the lesson this morning. And as the author divides the scripture that we're going to look at, verses 4 through 10 into three sections, they're under three main headings. The first one is that God has a purpose for every life. God has a purpose for every life. The second one is that when we agree to that purpose, God will go with us to help us carry it out. And then the third point is that not only does he go with us, he equips us or gives us what we need to carry out that purpose. If you've been here for any length of time, you've heard me say many times, God never calls the equipped. He always equips the called. He never calls us to do anything without giving us the ability to do it. And so we may be like Moses, we might be like Jeremiah when the call of God comes into our life and we say, "No, Lord, you must have the wrong person. There's no way I can do that. I don't have the skills. I don't have the aptitude. I just can't do it." And you remember, the Bible tells us God doesn't, he doesn't call the mighty, he calls the weak. Because if God called the mighty would say, "Well, I can do this on my own. I don't need God." God calls the weak because he wants us to know that we can't do it on our own, that we can only do it as we let him work through us, as we let the Holy Spirit strengthen us and help us do that. And so he equips us. He always gives us what we need to carry out his purpose. So let's look at the first scripture, Jeremiah. If you have your book, it's in the book. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, where the Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto all the nations," unto the nations. Every person at some point in their life deals with the question, "Why am I here? Why am I here?" We can only figure out the answer to that question as we come to God. And it's only when we figure out that question, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, that we find the true meaning in life. So many people today live their life without purpose. And so they go in a bunch of different directions, and they never find peace. They never find satisfaction because they never come to the one that made them. The one that made them, and again, made them on purpose with a purpose, was God. And it's only when we come to him that we can find that reason why we're here and what God wants us to do. And so the same thing with the case of Jeremiah. We think Jeremiah was probably a teenager when God was talking to him here, when he says that the word of the Lord came unto me saying. And the fact that it was the Lord that came to Jeremiah saying forms the heart of his ministry. This is not something that Jeremiah sought out. He didn't get up one day and say, hey, I want to be a prophet of God. I want to be God's spokesman. I want to go to the nation of Israel and to other nations, and I want to deliver a message from God. Jeremiah didn't get up one day with that idea and with that thought. He was living his life, again, we think as a young teenager, when God came to him and said, Jeremiah, I got a job for you. And by the way, this is not a thought that I just had for you. This was a thought that I've had for you before I made you, before you came forth out of your mother's womb. And so the word of the Lord, that word Lord is a name for God that we've looked at before, Yahweh. It's a personal covenant name of God that God first gave to Moses when he called him at the burning bush. When Moses says, so if I go to Egypt and I tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and I tell your people that you've sent me to let them go, who should I say sent me? And God answers the question, well, I am. You just tell them that I am. Yahweh. My covenant name, the name that I'm going to use to remind my people the covenant, the agreement that I have with them. That word, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, again, as we talked about it when we were studying Psalm 119, it means the spoken word, okay, something that we say. And that word saying usually talks about a conversation, a verbal conversation that two people have between each other, although there are nuances of the Hebrew word saying that implies it could be something other than verbal. So when Jeremiah says, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, did God speak to him in an actual voice? Maybe. Did God speak through circumstances? Maybe. Did the Spirit of God move Jeremiah's spirit? Maybe. Did he have a dream or a vision? We don't know. Jeremiah doesn't tell us. In the book of Hebrews, verse 1, the Bible says that God speaks in diverse manners. God speaks to us in different ways. Don't limit the way that God can speak to you. He can speak to you through a little child. He can speak to you through your spouse. He can speak to you through circumstances. I don't think there's too many occasions today of God actually speaking out loud to people, although if he decided to do that, he certainly could. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us in various ways. And so we don't know how he spoke to Jeremiah on this particular occasion, but Jeremiah knew that what he perceived, what he heard, what he saw in a vision, a dream, however God spoke to him, came from God. It was God speaking to him. And again, his call to Jeremiah to be a prophet unto the nations wasn't just a coincidence. I mean, God didn't say, well, you know, Jeremiah's 18 or 17 years old. I got to find something for him to do. I mean, God doesn't work like that. I mean, it wasn't, well, Jeremiah, you know, he's proven himself to be true to me, and now I've got to find something good for him to do, and so God reacted and say, well, I'm going to make him a prophet. No, that's not the way God works. God always has a plan, an intentional, purposeful plan that I think that he has had for every person before he created the world. And he tells Jeremiah that in verse 5. He uses four words to say, hey, Jeremiah, this is a plan for your life that I just didn't come up with. It's a plan that I've had for a long, long time. It's a plan I've had for all eternity. And so he uses the words form, new, sanctified, and ordained. He says, I knew you. Now, that's a word that in the Hebrew is usually talk about the intimate relationship between a man and a woman. In this setting, it talks about the relationship that God had with Jeremiah. And again, in any relationship, there's a matter of choice involved. Two people can't have a relationship with one another until they make the choice to do that. God has says, hey, Jeremiah, I chose to have a relationship with you. I've had a relationship with you before you were even aware of it. I knew you, and I know all about you, and I have chosen to have a relationship with you. And again, Jeremiah, none of the prophets in the Old Testament, none of the apostles in the New Testament were prophets and apostles because they were robots. Because God chose them and didn't give them a choice. God chose them, but Jeremiah also had to make a choice to receive the will that God revealed to him for his life, just like you and I do. God has a plan for our life, but it doesn't mean that he's going to enforce that plan on us. Sometimes we as people, we seek the plan of God, and when God tells us to us, we're like Jeremiah. We say, oh no, this must be a mistake. This can't be. I can't do what you've chosen for me to do. And God says, now listen, this is my plan for you. And I know you. I know you better than myself. I've had a relationship with you before you even knew that I existed. And this is my plan for your life. And he says, I formed you. That's the same word in the Hebrew that is used in the book of Genesis where the Bible says God formed man out of the dust of the ground. It's a word that's used in pottery. It talks about the potter, getting the lump of clay and squeezing it and molding it into the shape that he wants it. And that's what God was telling Jeremiah. I said, hey, I formed you. I know you because I made you. You have the things in your life that are there because I put them there. And I'm using all those things to make you into the kind of person that can fulfill and carry out what I'm calling you to do. And he says, not only did I know you, not only did I form you, before you were born, before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. Now, that word means to set apart. It means to make holy. It means to dedicate. It means to make clean. And again, before Jeremiah was born, God dedicated him or set him apart to carry out this purpose. And again, don't think, well, Jeremiah didn't have a choice. Because if you think that, you're going to think, well, I don't have a choice either. I have to carry out the plan that God has for my life. No, you don't. God doesn't force his plan on anybody. Now, I will tell you, if you want true happiness in your life, if you want true joy in your life, you need to figure out what God's plan is for your life and get at it. But you don't have to do it. I mean, God gives each of us the choice. We're not robots. He doesn't open up the top of our head and force this in and say, this is what you're going to be. He knows what we should be. He knows what he made us for. Again, why would we think we know more than the one that made us how we're supposed to live our life and how God wants to use us? We're foolish if we think we know more than God. And we get into trouble when we think we know more than God. But God was telling Jeremiah, hey, when I formed you, I set you apart for a purpose. I made you for a purpose. And then he says, I ordained you. I appointed you. I assigned you. I bestowed upon you this task. Again, God was exercising his sovereign will. As God, because he made us, he has the right as God to say, hey, this is what I made you for. Now, again, we have the freedom to accept that or reject it. We have the freedom to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take on that assignment. I'm going to take on that plan that you have for my life, and I'm going to try to live my life in a way that carries out that plan, or we can say, no, I'm going to do something else. We have that choice. God doesn't force us to do anything. Now, again, he'll try to encourage us. I mean, we head down a path that is different from what he made us for. We're going to run into obstacles. We're going to run into roadblocks. We're going to run into things that God has put in our life to try to get our attention to say, hey, this is not the reason I made you. This is not the plan or purpose I have for your life. You need to get off of this road and get back onto this one. But it's still our choice. We still get to decide. And so God says, now, Jeremiah, he says, I formed you. I knew you, I sanctified, I ordained you to be a prophet, a spokesman for me, a person that will deliver my message. Now, when we think of the word prophet, we usually we think of foretelling and forthtelling. We think of foretelling. We think a prophet is one that can tell us what's going to happen in the future. There was a part of Jeremiah's message that included that. His message was a message of judgment. His message was a message of saying, hey, Judah, this is what's going to happen if you don't turn back to God. There's going to be an outside nation that's going to come in and destroy Jerusalem, destroy the temple, and carry you away captive. He even told them how long they were going to be captive. For 70 years, you're going to be under the captivity. And so there was a message of foretelling the future, so to speak. But a prophet also delivers a message of forthtelling. This is what you need to do today. Sometimes, back in Jeremiah's day, and sometimes even in our day, we put more emphasis on what's going to happen in the future than we do on the message that God has for us today. The message that God has for us today is how he wants us to live our life, how he wants us to conduct our life, you know, the standards that he wants us to live by. And we get so caught up in what, you know, the prophecies have about what's going to happen tomorrow and at the end of the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. God wouldn't put them in the Bible if he didn't want us to think about them. But don't get so involved with thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow that you miss the instructions that God has for us to live today. I mean, those are the ones we need to pay attention to. Those are the ones we need to study and understand. And those are the ones we need to live by. I mean, how do you think you're going to get prepared for what's going to happen tomorrow if you don't pay attention to what God has for us today? And so we need to listen to the prophecies, all of them, about the future, but also about today. And so God said, hey, I knew you, I formed you, I knew you, I sanctified you, I ordained you to be a prophet for all nations, for all peoples. And again, when in the Old Testament, when God uses the word nations, he's usually referring not to his people, but to foreign nations, to Gentiles, to non-Hebrews. And Jeremiah's message did include some word to people that weren't Hebrews, but most of his message was to Judah. Most of his message was to God's people. And one of the authors made the point is maybe God used that word nations to make the point that his own people were acting more like other nations than they were his people. His own people were rebelling against him and rejecting him like the nations of the world were. And so the prophet that Jeremiah was going to be was speaking to all nations, including God's people, because they needed to hear the message that they needed to turn back to God. Judgment was coming, but God is always a God that provides an opportunity for us to change. And judgment sometimes can be avoided if we listen. If the people of God had listened to Jeremiah, they could have probably staved off the exile that was coming, the judgment that was coming, the punishment that was coming. I mean, think about the prophet Jonah. Jonah went into Nineveh and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I mean, he didn't even offer a message of hope. And yet the people responded to that message. And God spared Nineveh because they repented, put on sackcloth, and turned to God. And so God says, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah saying, I knew thee, I formed thee, sanctified thee, I ordained thee to be a prophet unto all peoples. And he says, I did that before I formed thee and before thou camest forth out of the womb. Before you were born, before you were conceived, I had a plan for your life. And again, how far back in time did that plan go? I think God knew it from the very beginning. There's no beginning with God, but before he laid the foundation of the world, God knew that he was going to have a need for a man like Jeremiah, a prophet like Jeremiah. He knew what his people were going to not do in following him. And so he had a plan for a man like Jeremiah to be born and carry his word to his people. Now, that's true of a lot of people that we read about in the Bible. We can go back and we can read the story of Isaiah and know it was true of Isaiah. We can go back and read the story of David and know it was true of David. We can go back and read the story of the Apostle Paul and know it was true of the Apostle Paul. Now, think about it. God called the Apostle Paul from being a persecutor of Christians. I mean, he was one that killed Christians. He was there when Stephen was stoned. He had letters in his pocket on the way to Damascus to arrest the Christians, take them back to Jerusalem to persecute them. And yet, God could say about the Apostle Paul, hey, before you were born, I had a plan for your life. Before you were conceived, I had a plan how I was going to use you to be the apostle to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. Before you, and look, that same thing is true about every single one of us. You could take Jeremiah verse 5 and you could apply it to your life. Where God says, hey, I formed you. I knew you. I sanctified you. I ordained you. Before you came out of the womb, I had a plan for your life. I had something that I wanted you to, something I wanted you to be, something I wanted you to accomplish. And every single one of us need to know that, again, we're not here by accident. We're not here by coincidence. That God didn't wait till we came on the scene to say, gee, I got to find something for them to do. That's not how God operates. He had something for every single one of us to do, planned out, part of his master plan for how the world operates today, with something for you and I to accomplish, something for you and I to be, something for you and I to do for him. And again, it's only as we come to him in faith. It's only as we become part of his family and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and then submit ourselves to his will and submit ourselves to his purpose that we can find out what he made us for. And again, life won't have the meaning that God intended for it to have unless we do that. Now again, he doesn't force us to do it. We even as a Christian, we can decide to live our life the way that we want to live it. But what blessings we are missing. What joy we are missing when we don't go to the one that made us and say, why am I here? What do you want me to do? Please make it clear and plain. And again, I've talked to people that say, well, preacher, I can't find the will of God for my life. I said, well, where are you looking? I said, well, they say, I pray and pray and pray. I say, God, make this revelation. I said, you don't need to start there. Start right here. God has instruction after instruction in this book for how he wants us to live our life. And until we are obedient to what he's put in this book, he's not going to give you a special revelation. He's waiting to see if we're going to be obedient to what he's already revealed to us. It's like that story I've told you many, many times about the miner down in the mine. He's got that little hard hat on with a little light on the front. And the miner can only see a couple steps in front of him. Until he takes the next two steps, he can't see the two steps after that. So many of us, we live our Christian's life our Christian life. We want to see to the end of the tunnel before we take the next step. That's not how God operates. He says, you take the next two steps and I'll show you the next two. You take those two, I'll show you the next two. You take those two, I'll show you the next two. That's living by faith. I mean, Abraham didn't know where God wanted him to go until we got there. God just gave him a series of instructions. Hey, travel this way, travel this way, travel this way. Where are we going? I'll tell you when you get there. Just trust me. That's how God wants us to live our life. Just take what he's put in front of you. Take the next two steps. Then he'll show you the next one. Then he'll show you the next one. Again, that's living by faith. And so again, as we close out this section, and I always spend too much time on the first section, got to hurry for the next two. But as we finish out this section, just realize every single one of us, you were made on purpose, for a purpose, by God. You are valuable to God. There is nobody else like you. So don't ever think that your life has no value. Don't ever think that you have no value in God's master plan, because you do. You are an integral part. You are an integral part of God's plan. All right, let's look at the second passage of Scripture, verses 6 through 8. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Again, like we've already talked about, Jeremiah was a little reluctant in his response to the Lord. He heard very clearly the calling that God had called him to. I want you to be a prophet. And again, we might criticize him and say, well, why is he being disobedient? Why is he being so reluctant? I think he realized the magnitude of the task. I think he realized what God was asking him to do, and he says, hey, I don't think I can do it. I understand what you're calling me to do, but I just don't think that I can do it. And so he said, Ah, now that word ah means alas, or oh no. Alas, Lord God, and Lord is a title. God is that name, Yahweh. Alas, Lord God. Oh no, Lord God. I can't do that. He says, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now that word child, if you studied your lesson, it was in the book that you have. It's used in the Bible. It could refer to an infant, to a young child, or to a young man. Again, we think that Jeremiah was a young man, probably in his mid-teens or late teens. And here's what Jeremiah was saying. I can't be a prophet. I can't deliver your word. I have no status or authority in my life that would cause people to listen to me. I can't get their attention. Besides that, I don't have the skills necessary to speak in public. I am not a public speaker. And then he says, I live in a culture and a political climate where why is anybody going to listen to a kid like me? Again, he might have been a teenager. But usually, you know, kings and rulers didn't listen to teenagers that weren't part of their court. And again, Jeremiah in this is expressing his humility. He's recognizing the size of the task that God had called him to. And he's simply saying, God, I think you picked the wrong guy. I am not capable of doing what you've called me to do. And again, when God calls us, humility is the proper response. I mean, we ought to have these same feelings. Lord, are you sure you got the right guy? I don't think I can do it. Because if we think we can do it, here's what's going to happen. We're going to do it in our own strength. We're going to do it with our own wisdom. We're going to do it with our own the innate abilities we think we have. And we're never going to accomplish for God working in our own strength, with our own intellect, with our own abilities to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. We're only going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish when we let him work through our weakness and our inabilities to do what only he can do. So God came back to Jeremiah. But the Lord said unto me, when Jeremiah said, I can't speak, I'm only a youth. God said unto him, God had an answer. He knew that Jeremiah was going to be reluctant. And he says, say not, I am a child. Don't worry about how old you are. Don't worry about what your status is in this world. Don't worry about the authority that you have or don't have in this world. Your age and your social standing doesn't mean anything. Because your status and authority, the status and authority that you're going to go and speak with is not yours. It's the status and the authority of the one that's sending you. It's my status. It's my authority. He says, for thou shalt go unto all that I shall send thee. You're going as my ambassador. You're going representing me. When an ambassador goes to a foreign country from the United States, they do not represent themselves. They represent the United States of America. They don't go to express their opinion if they're doing their job right. They go to express the opinion of our government, of our leaders. And so what God was telling Jeremiah, don't worry about how old you are. Don't worry about whether you can speak or not. Don't worry about when anybody's going to accept you or not. You're not going with your authority. You're not going with your status. You're going with mine. You're my representative. You're my ambassador. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. It won't be your message. You're right. A teenage boy can't go and tell God's people that they're sinning and destruction is coming. They won't believe you. But you tell them it's not your message, it's my message. You tell them it's not your words, it's my words. All you got to do, Jeremiah, is deliver it. You just got to let me use your mouth. You just got to let me, you just got to be my spokesman. And he says, don't be afraid. He said, now don't be afraid of their faces. Now, God wasn't sending them to a bunch of scary-looking people. And so he said, don't be afraid. By the way, when Jeremiah delivered the message, it was an unpleasant message. And I'm sure the people that heard it, their displeasure was reflected in their faces. And so they might have looked kind of scary to Jeremiah. When he said, judgment is coming, you've turned away from God, you're rebelling against God, you're revolting against God, and God's going to send punishment. I'm sure there were some faces made at him. You'd be surprised the faces that people make when I preach sometimes. You never see them because they're either sitting beside you or behind you. But sometimes I wish I could just, you know, have a button that I could direct the camera, and when I see a certain face, I'm going to take the picture of that and show you what that person's looking right. Now, I don't know if they're listening or if they're daydreaming, but, you know, thoughts go through a preacher's mind. But anyhow, so he said, that word faces doesn't mean actual faces. It means people. Don't be afraid of anybody. Don't be afraid of what they look like. Don't be afraid of how they react. Here's why. For I am with thee to deliver thee. God knew that people were going to get mad at Jeremiah. God knew that he was going to be threatened. God knew he was going to be imprisoned. One time he was thrown in a pit, sunk in mud, up to his armpits. I mean, God said, hey, all that's coming, but don't be afraid, because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. That word actually, where he says, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. That word saith means to whisper. It's like God leaning down to Jeremiah's ear and say, hey, I got a secret for you. When you go, I'm going to go with you. I'll be with you every step of the way. So don't be afraid. You just go. Whatever comes, whatever danger, whatever opposition, whatever resistance, you won't have to go through it alone. I'll be there with you. We'll go through it together. All right, look at the last two verses. We've got to hurry. Verses 9 and 10. So God has a purpose for every life. God goes with us to carry out that purpose. And then this part makes the point that God equips us to carry out that purpose. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So God says, don't be afraid. And then he did something. He reached down. That word put forth means to stretch out or reach out. And he touched Jeremiah's mouth, signifying that he said, hey, I've set apart your mouth for my use. And he says, behold. In other words, Jeremiah, now pay attention. I'm telling you something important that you need to know. Behold, I have put my words into thy mouth. Again, the message you're going to deliver, it's not your message. It's my message. In fact, it won't even be your words. Now, again, God uses men where they are. I mean, he was going to use Jeremiah's brain. He was going to use Jeremiah's vocabulary. But the words that came out of Jeremiah's mouth were not going to be words that Jeremiah originated. They were going to be words that God originated. And he said, hey, people will oppose you. People will reject you, but know this. They're not opposing you. They're not rejecting you. They're opposing me. They're rejecting me. I'm going to mention in my sermon this morning a summary of thought. You know, when people don't trust Christ, you know what they're doing? They're calling God a liar. They're calling God a liar. I'll give you a scripture in my message in just a minute. God was telling Jeremiah, look, these people are going to reject you, but they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. They're not opposing you, they're opposing me. Now that word see, I have this day, that word see is the same kind of word as behold. It's a different word, but it means same thing. Hey, pay attention. I have set thee over. What God was saying, look, I have set you up as an overseer. I am entrusting to your care the nations and the kingdoms. Now I know we're almost out of time, but I just want to stop for a minute. God was saying, Jeremiah, I'm giving you my people. I'm putting my people under your watch care. Not only am I putting my people, I'm putting all the nations that live around them under your watch care as well. God wasn't making him a ruler of Judah. He wasn't making him a ruler of the world. He would say, I'm putting all these people under your care. I'm entrusting them to you. Now, we know that Jeremiah took that charge seriously because you read the book of Jeremiah and many, many times you find, in fact, he's known as the weeping prophet. When he delivered God's message and God's people rejected it over and over and over again, it broke his heart. He said, God, you've entrusted me with these people. You've set me up to watch over them, and I've delivered your message. I've told them what you wanted me to tell them. But they don't listen. They reject. They're rejecting your message. And it couldn't help but break Jeremiah's heart. And so God said, now look, I put them under your care, and you're going to do some things. And God uses the imagery of gardening and building. He says, you're going to root out. In other words, you're going to uproot and pluck up sin. You're going to pull it out by the roots. And you're going to pull down. You're going to pull down sinful structures that men have built. You're going to destroy evil kingdoms. And you're going to throw down or demolish or overthrow corrupt rulers. All that's going to be part of your ministry. Now again, the message that God gave Jeremiah wasn't a popular message. It didn't make him popular with the people. That's why his instruction, his encouragement in verse 8 said, don't be afraid, was so important. There were times that Jeremiah got depressed. There were times that Jeremiah gave up. There were times that Jeremiah told God, I can't go on. I can't. And God always had to keep coming back to him and say, hey, look, I'm still with you. I haven't left you. Job's not done yet. Can't quit. Can't give up. Don't be afraid. We're still in this together. And Jeremiah, your message is not all about judgment. It's not all about destruction. You got to get rid of the sin before I can bless. You know, you got to purge before I can cause new blessings to come. And so he also called them to build and to plant, to build up that which was destroyed, to replant, so to speak, that which was torn up by the roots. God often delivers a message of judgment, but most of the messages of God's judgment come with a message of hope, even to us. I mean, the message of judgment that every single one of us faces is that we were sinners headed for hell. But the message of hope was that God gave us a way to overcome that sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by any effort we could do, but by what Jesus did for us. So, we got to close. Do not measure your worth, and do not measure the worth of others by the standards the world has. We're all made by God on purpose for a purpose. We are all valuable to God. We should all find value. We find our value and we find the value of others in what God has made them to do. And that's how we need to think about other people. That's how we need to think about the unborn. I often wonder how many diseases and medical conditions are still in the world today because we've aborted a life that God had planned to find the cure to cancer, or find the cure to leukemia, find the cure to some other disease we haven't found the cure yet. God had a plan to rid that, our world, of that disease through a little life that was snuffed out before it saw the light of day. I often wonder that. Every single person has value. You have value. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us this morning that every single person was made on purpose for a purpose. Us, everybody around us. Help us to live our life in that fact, in that reality, that every single person has value in your plan. I pray you go with us into the service that follows. Help us to uplift our Savior. I pray, Father, to be people here that need to decide for him this morning to come to Christ. Make it so. Just use every part of the service to that end. Thank you again for letting us look into your word this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning for Sunday School.